Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we're gonna go into this a tiny bit here. I don't think we'll go a long ways into it tonight. We're gonna plant a seed tonight. Then y'all will grow up that seed. But I want to talk to you about preparation, because that's what the Lord said to me in the night. He said, preparation, everything is preparation. And then the question is, what are you preparing for? Are we preparing for the best or for the worst? Best. Are we planning on the... When we hear, be prepared, is the only thing we think of is, oh, there's a terrible end time coming and we're going to just hang in there. Or when we hear about preparing for the end times, are we planning on being more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us? Nan just said, she's been reciting that word, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so our preparation should be for what the Lord has in store. And when we think of what the Lord has in store, we should not be thinking about gloom and misery and despair and terrible things. I just can't see why that should be what we focus on. Because God is faithful. And because God is faithful, we don't have to prepare for disappointment. I have had personal experiences where what I prayed for did not come out the way that I wanted it to come out. But at the same time that what did come out, with that came out the peace and the grace of God, the past understanding that went beyond measure, that it was so good that it was unsettling. Now, if we instead prepare for the worst, how do you feel when you prepare for the worst?
Worse?
Exactly. You feel worse preparing for the worst. And the more you prepare for the worst, the more worst you can imagine. And the more worst you imagine, the worse you feel. And then when it happens, do you feel better? No. And more than likely, the reason that we get the worst is because we prepare for the worst, because we confess the worst. I'm always reminded of our dear friend Marie. She always used to say, if anything bad can happen, it's going to happen. And it's going to happen to me. Well, praise God. Be specific. Make sure it happens to you, because it ain't going to happen to me. You want to declare it over yourself? Fine. But is that the kind of people we should be? I mean, just because the Bible says there'll be terrible things in the end time, should we spend all of our time getting ready for terrible things? What should we be planning on in the midst of terrible things? Good things. Good things. Jesus said, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. The Bible says God laughs at his enemies. So, how about if we laugh at the enemy? How about if we laugh at the circumstance? How about if we let the joy of the Lord be our strength? I will tell you today that when my nephew called me, he was pumped. Uncle Raj, just wanted to let you know. Figured you were already doing it, but I want to let you know what we're doing. This is what we're going on. We're going to brief all the people that are here. We're going to tell them that this is how we want them to pray. If they can't pray that way, then they can't come in the room. I can't wait to hear how that went. I'm sure that it was a little chewy for some. You know? Because when you're going to declare God, put life back in them. Put life back in them. Well, our tendency, even when we're people who know better, our tendency would be to, you know, do that with just a little hesitancy, just in case it doesn't happen. Hey, we don't have to worry about how we look, because that's the only thing we're worried about when we will not stand that way. We're concerned that somebody will think we're foolish. Now, we might say, you know, it might give God a bad rap, but God doesn't get a bad rap from that. He gets bad raps all over the place. You think it bothers him? He knows the truth. And he said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you also will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I have this thought today that, you know, Christians need to take on a little bit of a gambler's attitude. You know, so often Christians begin to be people who are really prepared not to be answered in their prayers, but we are so much in love with the Lord, it doesn't matter if He answers our prayers, we will be praising Him anyway. Well, that's noble sounding, but what kind of God is He if He doesn't answer our prayers? Now, gamblers always expect the next pull to be their winner. They expect the next lottery ticket to be their winner. If they didn't, they wouldn't buy them, would they? Now, I'll grant you, there's a lot of people that buy a lot of lottery tickets and say, oh, I never win, but I like to buy them anyway. You know, I mean, I don't plan on winning, but I, you know, that may be. But there's a whole lot more that when that tally starts going up, they start imagining them being the big winner. They're going to win the $100 million. They're going to win the $200 million, you know, whatever, you know. Well, Christians, why don't we? This is my time. Instead of, you know, flinching like God kicks us whenever we pray. How about if we pray as, you know, John said, this is the confidence we have. This is how it goes. Did they ever say, when they were mentioning the bad times that would come, that they should be miserable right up until the time? And were they to expect, you know, were they to be the ones who would say, do the worst to me, Lord, spare somebody else? The Lord said, pray that you might escape. I'll be always planning on it. No matter what, I plan on escaping into the presence of God. That's got to be our attitude. Now, don't misunderstand me. I haven't got it all down pat, but I'm starting to get at it. I mean, when God speaks to me in the night and says, preparation, make sure you're preparing for good, I take that seriously. I take that as a word from God, that I should be always planning, always preparing for good. I never hear Ken say, well, I'm going to go fishing and I won't catch anything. Now, I talk about Ken and his fishing, but you have to understand something. He's got faith down pat on the fishing. He's convinced he's the best fisherman. He's convinced that he's made all the preparations that are necessary. And he's convinced that he will catch the biggest and the most. And it doesn't bother him to say, because he doesn't go out planning not to. He's not a person that's going to say, well, you know, it's good to be fishing even if you don't catch fish. He plans to catch fish. We should plan to get our prayers answered. Yes, Rosie?
I think of farmers.
Yeah?
They don't usually plant a field expecting to reap nothing.
No, but a lot of them say they don't plan on getting nothing. And you wonder, I thought about them, I thought about the farming too, the people, I thought, you know, my goodness, they're going out and they're farming, and they say, well, they probably won't, you know, they say those things, but that ain't what they want. Nowadays, you're going to put in a crop, you better get a harvest. You know, they want to get a harvest. Well, okay, so if we apply some gambling attitude and some farming attitude, we should always plan on a harvest.
I think that's the same.
Huh? Well, no, I don't agree with you there, but that's okay. It's not the same. They may both appear sometimes to be a gamble, but, you know, you gambled with your garden then, right?
Yeah.
Well, not really. You've got a controlled atmosphere. And nowadays, farmers control the atmosphere pretty well, too. They got seeds that work better at different times than that. They need the rain. They ought to be great prayers. But we should expect results when we pray. And therefore, we should make preparation for that. How do we make preparation? By being built up in our most holy faith. By focusing on the Word of God. By focusing on the promises. By focusing on the good By focusing on how to improve. That's, you know, preparation. That is why. That's why athletes practice. And they practice. And they practice. And they practice. And when they shoot, they plan on the ball going in. When they run, they plan on getting the first down. When they, whatever they do, they plan on it being successful. Otherwise, they wouldn't put in all the work. Researchers research because they plan on finding something. You know, it's that sort of an attitude. Well, we, more than anyone or anything, should plan on good things. When you're talking about, when we're talking about the, in Ephesians 6, about the armor of God, it says, for shoes, this is in the New Living, put on the peace that comes from the good news so you'll be fully prepared. Okay? Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news. In other words, when we're walking in peace because we have confidence in the good news, then whenever something else comes at us, what will we have to apply to it? Good news. When the enemy comes in, I like to stop that psalm there at when the enemy comes in, and then I like the Lord to raise up the standard like a flood. Instead of saying, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him, I believe the flood is from the Lord. That when the enemy comes in, the Lord floods him. Floods him, floods our hearts, floods our minds. He prepares. The Lord's preparation is a table before us. We're in the presence of the enemy. In other words, God's got things prepared. God's made preparations. What kind of preparations does God make? Are God's preparations slipshod? Did He slide into creation? Did He have to tweak anything? Did He have to make everything, you know, did He have to look at it and, you know, fix it up a little bit, you know? Did He have to digitize it? Did He have to fix a pimple on a face like in a photography thing? Did He have to fix the eyebrows, fix the eyes? Did He have to do it? No. He did it, and then He looked at it and said, this is good. And that was the morning and the evening of the first day. And then He did this, and then He looked at it, it was good. When He got all done, He looked at everything, He said, it is good. And then He said, I think we should make man in our image. And He did, and He said, it's good. And man messed up, and He said, I'm going to figure out a way to get him back. I love him so much. And so He made preparation. And the preparations that He made were perfect, weren't they? And when Jesus did the things that Jesus did, He was prepared. He was prepared to meet death. He was prepared to raise the dead. He was prepared to heal the blind eyes. He was prepared to calm the storms. He was prepared. And whenever He said anything, He was prepared. And He never said, okay, let's see if this works. Peace, be still. No, He said, peace, be still. He never said, well, I'm not sure about blind eyes, not sure about that. He said, receive your sight. He didn't particularly care if people liked it when He made mud and put it on people's eyes. He didn't really care if people liked His methods. He wasn't concerned about that a bit. The only thing He was ever concerned about was when He couldn't do many miracles because they wouldn't believe. That troubled Him. When the disciples couldn't understand, after seeing so many things, He would say, why don't you have any faith? But He just kept pumping it into them, pouring it into them. He was preparing them. He was helping them to prepare. When He said He was going to prepare a place for them, what kind of place was He going to prepare? It's safe to say that God's preparations are good preparations, right? So when He speaks to us about preparations, and He tells us to prepare for the right thing, what do you think is the right thing to prepare for? Prepare for the salvation of the Lord? or to prepare for the wrath of God. I am not preparing for the wrath of God. I have been set free from the wrath of God. I will do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If I can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. If I will say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, then it will be done. Jesus said, anything you ask my Father, he will do. You won't ask me anything anymore. You will ask my Father. And if you ask it in my name, he will do it. This is what Jesus said. Can Jesus lie? So what we have to do is prepare our hearts. We have to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. But we also have to be hearers of it. If when we go to hear the word of God, all we are looking for is what we do not agree with, what are we going to come away with? If we read the Word of God and all we look for are errors in it, or contradictions in it, or if all we can do is think of things that will, you know, make allowances for it not to do what it says, what are we going to have then? We are going to have a diluted gospel. We're going to have an unproductive gospel. We are going to have exactly what we prepared for. Which is nothing. So, we need to prepare our hearts. We have to make our preparations in such a way that there is no place for wavering when it comes to God and to His Word and to what He says. So that we are prepared that we will not exalt what we think we know against what we see Him say. Because we do that sometimes. What I knew yesterday cannot rob me of what God shows me tomorrow. If the revelation is a greater revelation. Okay, Diane said she has been quoting that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me until it becomes a part of her. And then there is no longer a part of her that says, well, all things would be, you know, all things that are according to God's will for me. And it might not be God's will for me, but I can do all the things that are God's will for me through Christ who strengthens me. And then what happens? Then you've got nothing. Because then each time something comes up, you've got to decide, well, would this be God's will? Well, if this might not be God's will, then I might not have confidence for it. And pretty soon, what would you have confidence for? Well, I'm going to heaven. I can go to heaven through Christ who strengthens me. But the rest of our life will just be be an abomination, because it will be a life full of doubt. Because it will be a life that has no confidence that God was saying, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can do all things. If you can believe, all things are possible for you. How do you believe? You prepare. You prepare to fight the good fight of faith. You prepare to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You rebuke it, cast it, throw it, stomp it. Whatever you got to do to get rid of anything that raises up a standard against God and His promises. It's a good fight of faith. Fighting to get to faith. Fighting to get to the place where the only thing that matters is you and Jesus. Because then you have perfect confidence. The disciples were moving toward that a little bit, and then they'd just get amazed. Once in a while, he'd say hard things, and some of them would back away. But he just kept on with the truth. And he said, listen, here it is. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, if what I've told you abides in you, then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So now you go into all the world, and you make disciples, commanding them to observe all that I have shown you, told you. Not observe from far away, but become involved in them. That kind of preparation. What are we preparing for?
If it's outside the Word of God, then what, how do we reconcile that?
I don't think there's anything that's outside the Word of God if God says it.
In front of who? Or how would you say it?
Well, if God speaks something to your heart, if God speaks it, and it's not going to be in opposition to His Word. God doesn't change. God doesn't lie. The only way, the thing is you see, the Pharisees thought Jesus was speaking outside of God's Word, didn't they? But Jesus had a word for them. He said, you're of your father the devil. Why? Because they exalted themselves against the Son of God, the very one that the Old Testament spoke of. Jesus came, and it was, quote, a new word, because he spoke what he heard from the Father. And then Jesus said, okay, now, when I go, the Holy Spirit will come, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you the things that he hears from me. And so then the Holy Spirit speaks those things to them, and he spoke to these men. And the last time I checked, we are men and women of God. And the Holy Spirit is still speaking. And the Holy Spirit is still saying. And the Holy Spirit is still guiding. And the Holy Spirit is still giving revelation. And the revelation never, ever goes against the Word of God. It only is a revelation. It's a deeper revelation. It's a greater revelation. It's an encouragement. It's a thing that brings people on. Instead of looking at it to see why it can't be right, we need to be as the Bereans who looked at it to see how it could be right. Not looking for a way to annul it, but for a way to acknowledge it and trust the Spirit of God. Trust the Lord to give the revelation. When God speaks a word to me in the night, like preparation, I don't sit and go, that can't be God. I've learned to listen. I've learned to say, okay. I've not only learned to say, okay, I've learned to begin to imagine. And I have found that when I imagine, that God is able to guide my imaginations. And as He's guiding my imaginations, He sometimes is steering me back because maybe I've been imagining something else. But we always end up in agreement. Because if He doesn't agree, I don't want it. But I have decided that He can say whatever He wants because I've read the Bible. And I see Him say things to people. And I see those people say those things to people. And I see religious people always fought those things that He said. And people with life and people who receive from God always received what He said. And if we are going to think that God quit speaking 2,000 years ago, we are never, ever going to come into the revelation that God has for us. Because Jesus Himself said the Holy Spirit would reveal all truth to us. And all truth, the foundation of it may be here, but it's not all here. The truth is in Him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But this isn't the Word that He was talking about. This is the Word of God. But the Word became flesh. That's Jesus Christ. And so He is still revealing Himself. And we need to prepare our hearts to receive what He reveals to us. Because He reveals things to us individually, distinctly, and especially. You can... We don't have to sit around and go, well, I wonder if that's the Holy Spirit. We need to trust God. God said, lo, I'll be with you always. I'll say this is the way walking. I mean, the thing is that you can't steer a donkey that's sitting down, man. It's just sitting. Right? But if we will open our understanding and get off of our ritualistic, self-righteous attitudes and just go with God, we're going to see some amazing things. Because God does amazing things. And you don't have to read for very long to hear testimonies from people that got words from God of things to go do that were absolutely off the wall, and it changed somebody's life. And that ain't lucky. That is the Word of God. It's not just a coincidence. It's not just, oh, God made good of something. It is God can use the ridiculous. Oh, wait a minute. Scripture says that He will take the foolish things, according to wise people, and bring glory to Himself. But how in the world are we ever going to walk in those things if we are not making preparation to walk in those things? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It's going to take a whole bunch of free Christians to walk in what the Lord has. Instead of spending our time trying to figure out why it shouldn't work, we need to spend our time figuring out why it should. I would have all the money I would like to have if I would have thought that that internet could do what the internet did. I could have taken every dime I could get my hands in on and stuck it into penny stocks of internet companies. But I couldn't see how that would work. And if I'd have had a lick of sense when I got saved, I would have been asking God, God, how can I get in on all of this stuff? What would be the best things? And I could have heard Him tell me what would be the best things. But I wasn't looking for that. And if we're not looking for it, we're not going to find it. If we are not making preparation for the good news, the peace that comes from the good news, peace is not just nobody shooting at you. Peace is having all things, lacking no good thing. Peace is having what you have so that you can take that and you can put it on someone else. My brother's called me over this, and every time we're talking, he said, boy, I'm sure glad I called you. I always feel better after I talk to you. I said, that's just the Holy Spirit, brother. Doesn't have a thing to do with me. Well, the Holy Spirit's using you. I said, amen. Okay, I'll take that. The Holy Spirit's using me. Why? Because I'm prepared to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me. I'm prepared to say things that the Holy Spirit would have me to say, even if they maybe don't seem like the convenient thing to say, but they accomplish what God wants them to. Because we've made preparation, we've prepared our hearts to receive His feast. We've prepared our hearts and we are expecting the things of God. I mean, we've got to be people that expect the things of God. Otherwise, we're just in church. We don't want to be just in church. We want to be people like Devon said. God said, now say it with authority. Kind of one of those deals, okay, put up or shut up. You've come this far, finish it. Right? So then you had to decide, am I prepared to do this? What have I got to lose? Right? Worked pretty good. Now, Lord, bring in what ain't even ours. Just bring it in. Nothing wrong with that. No? God has things stored up for us. Go ahead, open up the storehouse. What are we preparing for? That's the thing. Are we preparing to go to heaven someday? Well, we don't have to really prepare for that, folks. I got good news for you. That was taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're still preparing to go to heaven, that's like mixing the cookies 47 times. You know, you don't have to keep preparing the same batch, right? You know? I mean, some things are finished, okay? But are we preparing for the next thing, the new thing? On Sunday, the Lord said, you know, are you ready to move to the next place? And the opportunities will come to go to that next place. And then you will either go there or you will back away from there. I had a text from someone that said, hallelujah, I'm going to the next place. And they shared a testimony and said, I felt so good, I'm just praising the Lord. No good reason except for having prepared and said, this is an opportunity to go to the next place. No matter what I see, no matter what I hear, no matter what I feel, I'm just going to go to the next place. Guess what? When you go to the next place, the last place is gone. What are we preparing for? Are you preparing for the next place? Are you preparing for the next level? You're preparing to move with God at whatever place it is. Are you preparing? You know? I mean, what LaVon shared was something that she would certainly like to have, and so gradually preparing to come to that place, and then all of a sudden, it's presented. Okay, here you go. You're going to go, or you're going to back away? Let's go for it. And then measure after measure after measure. Oh, well, yeah, but I mean, it was just a matter of time till all that came in anyway. Yeah, a matter of time, a matter until you called it. And the Lord answered what you said. Are we preparing for the Lord to do what the Lord has promised? Are we prepared to believe that He truly does watch over His Word to perform it? And His Word is the Word of God coming out of our mouth. It is us being in agreement with what He says. What He says. Are we preparing to just have that flowing through us? Is that what our preparation is? Are we becoming people that are anticipating? Excited rather than having anxiety. So many Christians are filled with anxiety instead of excitement. Right? The enemy likes to try to put anxiety on us. The enemy likes to try to put fret on us and fear on us and doubt on us. And the enemy likes to bring up everything that isn't going the way that we want to so he can get us to go, ooh. And what we need to become is people that are so prepared and so excited about what God is going to do that we can't wait to see what He is going to do in the face of this. So that we can look forward to, you know, the enemy raising up his ugly head because we love to see him get smacked. We watched a movie last night. We watched Australia, you know. It was thoroughly enjoyable to see the villain get killed. Forgive me. But I just loved it. I waited for it for a long time. I just couldn't, I just was so happy when it finally happened. There were times when I was having a little anxiety thinking, my goodness, couldn't they write this thing better? They could have killed him a long time ago. I loved it! And it was really cool. He died slow. It was just awesome. No. But that's what That's what I believe God's going to do to the enemy whenever he raises up his head in our lives, right? Are we preparing for that? Are we preparing to rejoice when there are various trials? Well, there's got to be a reason to rejoice. It's kind of fun to rejoice when you know the enemy's going to get whopped. Right? So, preparation. What are we preparing for? What are our hearts preparing for? Are we preparing? Are we willing to prepare? Are we willing to be transformed by the renewing of our minds? Are we open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Are we listening for the voice of the Spirit of God? Do we trust Him? Do we trust Him? We all have places where we're going to move into another place of trusting Him, because that's what happens. Those places that we go are places where we enter in because we're trusting Him. And we're just going to keep going, but we've got to be preparing. We've got to have our hearts prepared so that where He leads me, I will follow. So that we'll be like Ruth said, wherever thou goest, I will go. Wherever thou leadest, I will follow. Your people should be my people and your God my God. That's where we're going. And if that's what our lives are, if that's what we're preparing for, well, I believe that we get what we prepare for. So if we're going to prepare for the worst, well, we'll be strong in the worst, because we'll be trusting God in the worst, and we'll be able to tell people, you know, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. And they'll say, I don't want one that's going to slay me. I got a world that's slaying me on a regular basis. Is there one out there that wants to bless me? I know. Me, call on me. I know one that wants to bless you. Jesus. That's His desire. He started out. He said, Abraham, you get out of where you are and go to a place that I prepared for you. Yeah. That's it? Yeah. You get out and go to a place I prepared for you. And off Abraham went. And it was a good place. It was a good place. The Lord has prepared a place for you. Jesus said, behold, I go and prepare a place for you. If it weren't so, I never would have told you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Did He mention anything there about, now you just spend your whole life waiting to get your mansion here? No, He just said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I believe that the place that He's prepared for is a place that is in Christ here. Now, in this lifetime, and in the end, eternal life. Oh, this is such a good life in Christ. This is such a joyous way to live. This is good, because we serve a good God. So, what are you preparing? What is your preparation for? The peace that comes from the good news? Or the anxiety that comes from the possibility of bad things.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Are you interested in being more than conquerors? Amen? Amen? Heavenly Father, You are awesome. And as Rosie said, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, here, Lord, Your kingdom come. Now, here, Lord, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, I would venture to say everything is good. And so we present ourselves to You, we prepare our hearts to receive everything good now. Strength, understanding, confidence, all those things that Jesus walked in so that he could change and help other people's lives. We thank you, Lord, that this is what you're doing to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.